I don't know about you, but darkness is something that most of us fear. My brother Paul used to say he wasn't afraid of the dark. He was afraid of what was in the dark. Now, he's not here today, so he can't defend himself, or he'd be saying something about me, too. But, you know, darkness, we try to avoid it. I remember one time we were in a camp in Ohio, and we had to go across this hill and down in this little valley to get to where our car was. And it was so dark that you couldn't see your hand in front of your face. And this guy who was leading us said, I'll tell you what, let's just take hands, and I will lead you. You couldn't see the trail. You couldn't see anything. And he led us up and down this path and around. And next thing you know, we were at our car. You know, we want headlights to shine on the road so we can see where we're going. You ever stumbled around your house at night? How many of you have a night light in your house? Come on, be honest. How many of you don't? How many of you have broken toes because of it? Some of the most painful things I've done is when I was trying to go through the dark and I stubbed my toe. Beyond that, we do everything possible to keep the dark moments out of our lives. The dark moments, isn't that right? The times when we struggle. We prefer happy times with our family, not the sad times. Yet, it seems like every happy one ends up many times with a sad ending. How can a story have such a sad ending? The story of Jesus is a happy ending. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is so happy to think about what we can enjoy because of what he has done for us. But many families go through tough times. Sometimes it's when they hear the word cancer, that it sends shockwaves through a family. Or a sudden death of somebody in a family. It's no surprise that many of the events that first Easter were things that happened in the darkness. Jesus' trials were in the darkness. In fact, when Jesus was hanging on the cross, the text tells us that there was a darkness that came over the earth from the sixth hour to the ninth hour. Think about it. That's from noon until 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And it was pitch black. And here the Son of God was hung on a tree, and people were reviling him and saying all kinds of things against him. Dark moments are just part of life, aren't they? But without the resurrection, they can be sad, sad times. So how do you deal with the sad, dark moments in life? How do you deal with it? How do you handle them? You try to control them, or do they control you? Because you see, deep inside each of us, there's a hunger for light. And when we face dark moments, you see, people can live without food for maybe a week. They can go maybe a day or two without water. They can go maybe minutes without oxygen, but not a moment without hope. And you see, without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, there is no hope. And that's the good news for today, is that Jesus came to bring us hope. Now, the Gospels tell us like this. The first Easter story, the darkness had ended. And we read this in Matthew chapter 28. Those first verses say this. After the Sabbath, at dawn, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, that would be Mary, the mother of Christ, went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from the heavens and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, light. And his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid." I can imagine. "For I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here." Listen to this, please. "He has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. And there you will see him. Now I told you so. So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy and ran to tell the disciples. And suddenly, Jesus met them. This is interesting. Greetings. Greetings, he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." Let's pray. Lord, what a great story. What a great story, that first Sabbath after the crucifixion, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you that you did that, that you came back, that the angel took the stone away so people could see that your body was gone. Help us today as we look at reasons in our life that will pull us down if it wasn't for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Darkness. It'd be nice if we turn off all the lights. We're not going to do it because some of you may be afraid of the dark. But the text tells us, after the Sabbath, at dawn. Do you realize it's the darkest of the night right before dawn? It's so dark. Nothing is more dark. And the angel appeared, and it says he's like lightning. And his clothes were white as snow. You see, that kind of lightness dispels the darkness. And that's what Jesus did. The angel appeared, and the light. The primary responsibility of the gospel is to bring light into people's lives. And that's exactly what the angel proclaimed when he announced that Jesus was alive. You see, Jesus had to die in order to dispel the darkness that lives inside of each one of us. The darkness that lives in us. The darkness that we have in our lives because of sin. The darkness. And Jesus, through his death and his resurrection, his death and resurrection, brings light to us, but also to a dark world. So, in the time that we have remaining this morning, I want us to look at five of the darkest moments of our life and how Jesus can make a difference. If you have a bulletin this morning, I think we ran out, but you can write them down. The first one is this: unexpected death. Few moments in life are darker than death when someone dies. Many of you have buried a parent. Some of you have buried a mate. Some of you have buried a son or a daughter. There's nothing as sadder than that, burying someone that you love. When you bury a child, if you've done that, you know that's one of the toughest things. You always think that your child is going to bury you, but it doesn't always happen that way. If you're faced with those heartaches, you know how dark that feels. And it's easy to miss the trauma the disciples were experiencing at this moment. They had lost everything. They had put all their eggs in the basket of Jesus. He was their Messiah. They believed that. They'd given up everything to follow him. And now they were facing a dead Savior, one who has died. And as the disciples walked away from that grave, they had to have this heartsick feeling. We've given up everything. But now, you see, all this has changed. The execution of Jesus by the Romans. You're talking about dark. That's dark. But the Bible says of this event, in verse 27 of verse 23 of Luke, says this: a large number of people followed him, including women who had mourned and wailed for him. I'll never forget being in the hospital with a single mother who had just lost her son. He had tragically taken his life. I remember being with her and talking to her about her son, and she said to me, "You know what, Pastor? My son, even though he's made some mistakes in his life, he loved Jesus. Yes, he was disappointed by the divorce. He was disappointed by the heartache of the breakup of the family. But you know what? He loved Jesus." So what gives hope to a mother in the darkest moments like that? It's the truth that this life is not all there is. There is more to this life than what we see here. There is more to life than just what we see on this side. And when death comes, when death does come, we will understand that better, that only one thing will bring hope, and that's a life relationship with Jesus Christ. And it's the knowledge that Jesus has faced death, and he conquered it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 55, we read this. The Apostle Paul says this, and he's crying out, "Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your victory?" And where, O death, is your sting? Where is your sting? It's kind of like he's saying to death, na, 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 na. You could take this body, you could kill this body, but my soul and my spirit's going to live forever, forever. I'm reminded of a story of a mother whose name is Ruth Dillo. She received a message from the Pentagon during the Gulf War that her son, Private First Class Clayton Dillo, had stepped on a landmine and was killed. How sad. She mourned for days. She wept for weeks. But you know what? She said this, "I can't begin to describe my grief and shock. It was almost more than I could bear. For 3 days I wept. For 3 days I expressed my anger and loss. For 3 days people tried to comfort me, but to no avail, because the loss was too great." But several days after that first came a telephone call, and she picked it up, and the voice on the other end said this, "Mom, Mom, it's your son. I'm alive." And she said this, "I was so happy at first I could dance. I could jump up and down. I was so happy that my son, who I thought was dead, is now alive." He was alive. That's kind of how it is with Jesus. They thought he was dead, and then all of a sudden, he's now alive. He's alive. And the great news for all of us today is that as we face death, we can realize that Jesus faced death, and he overcame death, and he offers that to us today. That's how his followers felt. The resurrection of Jesus Christ, you see, demonstrates that death does not have to be final. Let me say that again. The resurrection of Jesus Christ demonstrates that death does not have to be final. See, the resurrection of Jesus Christ provides hope for the future. We sang about it, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. It provides hope for the future. It's light in the darkest moments of life. And the resurrection also provides light when we face, the second thing is, unforeseen defeat. Have you ever noticed how everybody likes to root for a winner? Now, if you're a Detroit Lions fan, now this past year wasn't bad, okay? I got to say, they made it to the playoffs. They actually won a game. But everybody, a lot of people up here root for the Packers. So I asked one of them, "Why do you like the Packers?" They said, "Because they're winners." In other words, I said, "Why don't you root for Detroit?" "Because they're losers." Until next year. But when you read the gospel, you understand that the disciples thought they were on the winning team. They thought Jesus was going to come back and set up his kingdom. He looked unbeatable. He looked like he could do anything. His miracles made him look unstoppable. And they knew a winner when they saw one. And they were literally willing to give up everything to follow him. He had promised he was going to restore the kingdom and he was going to reign as their king. It's kind of humorous. The mother of James and John got a little bit of a discussion with Jesus in Matthew chapter 20, where this is what she said, "Grant that one of my two sons may sit on your right hand and the other on your left in the kingdom." They were so convinced, here was the Messiah who's going to set up his kingdom. "Can my son sit on your right hand and my other son on your left hand?" They were that convinced that Jesus was going to do that. He was going to be the king of the Jews. Can he be in your cabinet? Can he be in your cabinet? But then the unthinkable happened. And they watched as Jesus was nailed to a cross. He was nailed to a cross, his feet and his hands. So what were they thinking? Unforeseen defeat. Maybe that's how you feel today. Maybe you feel like, "I'm so discouraged. I'm so hurt. I'm so trodden down." Do you realize that Jesus gave his life for you? Do you realize that Jesus went to the gates of hell for you? Do you realize that he did that because he loves you? And friend, the resurrection proves that the moment of our greatest defeat are not final. Going back to 1 Corinthians 15:57 again, it says, "But thanks be to God. Thanks be to God for he gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." there's victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The resurrection brings light to the darkest moments. But the third thing is this. The resurrection brings light to unrelenting doubts. You ever wonder if the Bible's true? Maybe you had a professor in high school or college and said, who made fun of the Bible, said it can't be true, and he gave all the reasons. I think we've all gone through those kinds of experiences where we've doubted. Or maybe you're there today where those kind of doubts are plaguing you today. Is the Bible really true? Is God really real? And you think about it, say, you know, where are you, God, when I go through the pain and suffering? You ever feel like saying, God, what are you doing in my life? Why are you allowing these things to come into my life? Why are these things happening? When Jesus died, all his disciples doubted what happened. They thought he was the great deliverer. I love what Luke chapter 24 says. It says, but we who had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. You know what the answer for doubt is? Do you know what the answer for doubt is in your life? The answer is the resurrection of Jesus. You see, Jesus said to Martha before he raised her brother Lazarus from the dead, he said this, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. And then these little words. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Do you believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life? Jesus said it like this in Revelation chapter 1, verse 18. I am the living one. I was dead, and now look, I am alive forever and ever. You see, the truth of the resurrection is that Jesus conquered death. Jesus conquered death. Unexpected death, unforeseen defeat, and all doubts. So how do you explain the empty tomb? How do you explain it? How do you explain the radical changes that took place in the disciples' lives? The resurrection. The resurrection of Jesus. Maybe you're here today. And maybe you've kind of given up on God. Maybe you're doubting whether he really has a claim in your life. Maybe you are struggling with that whole fact. Maybe God needs to come into your life again and to work in your life. Maybe you're ready to throw in the towel on your marriage. Maybe you're willing to just give up all hope for your future. Or maybe you're saying, why should I live? Why should I live any longer? But I want you to know that the resurrection of Jesus gives you light in those dark moments. But number four, the resurrection brings light to the unqualified denials. Have you ever done something that you really regretted? I thought we'd just take the mic and pass it around, have everybody share the worst thing they ever did. And we start over on this side with Kyle. No, we're not going to do that. But you know what? When you go through those tough times, when you go through those times of great doubt, when you go through kind of great fear, think about Peter for a minute. Three times, Jesus said, you're going to deny me three times before the cock crows. And he did. Three times, he swore and said he never knew Jesus. He said, I never knew this man. And when it was over with, he broke and he wept bitterly, the text tells us. Have you ever been that humiliated by what you did, that you couldn't face somebody? Did you ever feel like you've committed a sin that could never be forgiven? I want to tell you something. You can be forgiven. You can be forgiven of any sin that you've committed. Jesus came for that reason. The Bible tells us when Jesus died, he said, it is finished. And that means Jesus alone can satisfy that perfect penalty for your sin, which is death. He paid for that. He came to bring you back to life. Can you imagine how Peter felt when he sees Jesus the next time and Jesus looks him in the eye and Peter confesses his sin? And you know what? Jesus forgave him. In fact, in Luke chapter 24, verse 34, it says this, the Lord appeared to Simon. If anybody needed to see forgiveness, it was Peter. And Jesus forgave him. He made Peter whole. But number five is unspeakable discouragement. Unspeakable discouragement. Why is it so hard to face suffering? Why is it so hard to face tough times? Why is it so hard when it seems like there's not enough money to go around? Why is it when somebody says something against your reputation? Why is it so hard when you face disease or death? It's hard because we think this broken world's the only world that we're ever going to see. It's easy to think like Thomas. Remember Thomas? Doubting Thomas. He doubted Jesus. And nobody was more discouraged than he was. But you know what Thomas said in verse 25 of John 20? He says, unless I see the nails in your hands and put my fingers in your side, put your nails inside, I will believe. But just moments after that, Jesus stands before him and says, stick your hands in my side, my hands. And if Jesus is alive, even during those darkest times, like he's promised to be, the fact of the resurrection of Jesus is that what makes Jesus, makes the gospel story not just a great read, but life-changing power. You see, Jesus rose from the dead. That's life-changing power. And the reality of the resurrection brings hope to each of us today, to each one of us today in the darkest moments of our life, in those dark moments. If you're having that empty feeling in your life today, you need Jesus. You need the power of the resurrection. The power of the resurrection can change you from the inside out. It can deal with your problems. It can help you to overcome those things. The resurrection of Jesus means that you can look forward with hope to a day when our suffering and all of our heartaches will be gone. And one of these days, if you placed your faith in the death and resurrection of Christ, you will find that the worst things that have ever happened to you in this life, in the end, will turn out to be joy. Will be joy. This life will be turned inside out, and God will give you eternal life with him because God loves you so much. God loves you. He has a plan for your life. You see, belief in the resurrection of Jesus Christ provides that triumphant light that you need in your life.